WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back, and welcome Pamela Pantos, the new executive director of the Newport Music Festival. I am Mike Mano, and we're talking about the festival that's coming up and lots of good things that will happen during the year for the festival. If you have questions or you want to follow along, you can go to newportmusic.org and check out their website. Good evening, Pamela. Welcome. It's getting to be that time of year again.
Absolutely. Incredibly cold all of a sudden, right?
The weather has changed. Thanksgiving's just a few days away, and here we are.
Right. So the holidays are imminent, and the weather has quite suddenly decided to become quite wintry. Mm-hmm. So with this backdrop this evening, I thought we would listen to some music that is quite festive and uplifting.
Oh, okay. I'm ready. Let me put on my antlers and I'll listen.
Not antlers yet. First, we have to have the pumpkins.
My pilgrim hat.
There you go. All right. There you go. As our listeners may know, the Newport Music Festival will be celebrating its 50th season this summer. And this golden anniversary offers a unique opportunity in terms of programming. And so we've been looking back at over 49 years of repertoire. One of the highlights of this coming summer will be the presentation of one major piece of music from each of the previous 49 seasons, and we're weaving that into the concerts, and there'll be a little indicator so the audience will be able to see year one, year seven, 1969 or 1973. Right. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, that was a lot of work to go back in history to find out.
Yeah. But I think it'll be really important for our audience because, again, it'll allow us to present the favorites of our listeners, but also some pieces that they may have heard just once and would love to hear again. And of course, we'll be presenting some new music as well. So one piece that falls into the category of a favorite is Vivaldi's Four Seasons. However, the manner in which it's being presented at the 50th is a bit more ample, should I say, in that we're going to use a string ensemble of 9 players plus a harpsichord, and it's never been presented in this manner before at the festival, so the audience is really going to get a treat. And this is going to be performed on the first Friday of the festival, July 6th. And just so our listeners know, tickets are going on sale in January this year, quite early, and I'm sure that this concert is going to sell out. The first half of the concert is Mozart and the second is Vivaldi, so I wanted to present it to our listeners on the radio so they could hear it here first, and they'll be able to go online in January at www.newportmusic.org and purchase those tickets. So just a little bit about Vivaldi. Antonio Lucio Vivaldi was born in Venice, we think on the 4th of March, 1678, and died in Vienna on either the 27th or 28th of July in 1741. His father was a professional violinist. We often find with these early composers that music was in the family. The young Vivaldi traveled frequently with his father when he was young, much like we know Mozart did, and it didn't take long for him to follow in his father's footsteps. Interestingly enough, Vivaldi trained for the priesthood for 10 years, and it was in this manner that he gained an incredible education, but he quit soon after becoming a priest, blaming an illness, and we're not quite sure if he really was sick or if he simply wanted to compose.
Just wanted to get out.
But nonetheless, he remained quite religious for the remainder of his life. And regardless of his reasons for leaving, joining the priesthood was very advantageous for Vivaldi, particularly as Baroque Venice was the musical capital of Europe at the time. And so, as I just mentioned, it offered him the best education possible. So after his time in the priesthood, Vivaldi began working as a violin teacher at the Ospedale della Pietà, which is not a hospital, but rather an orphanage in Venice, Italy. And this was one of 4 institutions which placed a special emphasis on teaching music. These orphans were usually the illegitimate daughters of the city's wealthy noblemen and their numerous mistresses, which explains why they had generous endowments that meant that the girls were extremely well cared for and given the best musical tuition possible. So Vivaldi's association with the music school lasted an extended period of time until 1740, when his reputation in Europe had been secured largely because of these wonderful performances of these girls he instructed. So he had all these young ladies who were incredibly interested in music.
Sounds like a tough job, but somebody had to do it. All right.
And Antonio Vivaldi, the first piece we're going to hear, this trio in G minor for lute, violin, and cello, he composed it in 1731. Now, here there's an inclusion of the lute, which we now utilize guitar for. And it was very interesting because the lute was going a little bit out of favor because it was a Renaissance instrument. And yet he utilized it in a slightly new manner. And there were many people who think that Vivaldi perhaps, you know, was a boilerplate, you know, like Rossini. He composed and reused things. But I think this piece that people will hear that he really utilizes the guitar in a very interesting manner. We are actually going to play this piece on Friday, July 20th this summer at one of our three Sunrise concerts. Maybe you know that the Sunrise concerts are incredibly popular with our audience and they're always sold out in a day. So we've decided to do three of them this summer. And this one on July 20th, Friday, will feature Rupert Boyd. And Rupert is, I know, a favorite with our audiences of Boyd Meets Girl. And so he'll be playing this piece. So here's our first selection for this evening. We are going to hear Vivaldi's Trio Sonata for, in this case, guitar, violin, and cello, performed by Pepe Romero and I Musici.
We will listen to those pieces and then be back with more. Thank you. back to our program on the Newport Music Festival series. Pamela Pantos is here with me. I'm Mike Mano. And Pamela, let's pick up where we left off.
Terrific. So I'd love to go back discussing the importance of the ospedale, or this orphanage, in Vivaldi's career. These performances by these young women became so important that they began to even rival performances held at the opera house. And this was important for Vivaldi's career because, in addition to teaching these young women, this job offered him the opportunity to compose. So he actually had to write hundreds of pieces and different genres for these young women. And one of those forms that he became a proponent of became these concertos. So at this post, Vivaldi was required to provide 2 concertos each month for the school orchestra to be given on concerts on Sundays. So the concerto was a really effective musical genre for these young women because they were short, they incorporated different techniques, and were suited for these students. So because this offered him opportunities to continue composing, this position allowed Vivaldi to begin seeking recognition as a composer and to put all of his creative efforts just into his music. He didn't have to teach anymore, therefore he could just compose. And it allowed him to compose sonatas, concertos, operas, sacred pieces, you know, motets, psalms, and solo works. But again, back to the form that he popularized, it was their concerto. His most famous concerto is the Four Seasons. So the Four Seasons, in Italian, Le Quattro Stagioni, is a group of 4 separate violin concerti, each of which gives a musical expression to a season of the year. And they were written about, we think, around 1721. So we have these 4 concerti, which are in the following order. La Primavera, spring. L'estate, summer. L'autunno, autumn, and l'inverno, winter. So as we all know, the Four Seasons is probably the best known of Vivaldi's works. And what was really unusual for the time is that Vivaldi published not only these pieces, but there were accompanying poems. We even think he might have written these poems himself. And so going back to, you know, we were talking about Berlioz and some other composers, he was one of the first composers to really be programmatic. He wanted everyone to read these poems and hear the music so that, again, that film experience that people had, a visual as well as an oral experience. So he took great pains to relate his music back to the text of the poems, and each of these concerti is sort of fast, slow, fast, and linked to a sonnet. So these pieces go far beyond these programmatic elements and have become a mainstay of the classical music genre because of their timelessness. What's interesting is that even now, composers and performers try to make this piece their own, not only by playing it, by changing it and creating even new works in its image. Nigel Kennedy, Mark O'Connor, Philip Glass, Max Richter, all of the above have written responses to the Four Seasons in recent years in the form of a new violin concerto, sometimes quoting Vivaldi, sometimes just using it as an inspiration. So unfortunately, we do not have time to listen to the entire masterpiece, but given the season, we will listen to the last 2 concerti, Autumn and Winter. So we are going to hear Autumn and Winter, played by Joshua Bell and the Academy of St. Martin's in the Field, which Joshua Bell now conducts.
We will listen to those and then be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our show about the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director. And Pamela, listening to that music, it never gets old. It's Vivaldi is one of those things that you can play over and over again and changes your mood for different things.
Absolutely. And you know what's so interesting now, you know, that we're here listening to this, that fall was in that major and winter was in the minor, you immediately sense the seasons, you know, the warmth of those autumn days and then the coldness of the winter. So, you know, again, brilliant composition there. As we've mentioned, the 50th anniversary season is truly an opportunity to both deepen the experience for our audiences as well as expand our presence in the greater Newport community. So the final concert of our 50th anniversary season will be on Sunday, July 22nd at St. Mary's Church. And we will be performing two major choral works with orchestra. And this is really the chance for everyone in the community to hear and even participate in an incredible concert. The first half of the program will be Pergolesi's Stabat Mater. And the second half of the program is Vivaldi's Gloria. So the Gloria in D is probably one of his best-known sacred works, but it also reflects Vivaldi's other skill as an opera composer because it's very dramatic, and he regarded his opera career as a little bit of a distraction from his day job at the Ospedale della Pietà. So Vivaldi's all-women orchestras and choirs were legendary sensations, but these young women needed to be protected from noblemen and travelers who came to the city because Venice was a big party city at the time. So to keep these young ladies sheltered from the corruption and the decadence of the visiting public, the girls sang from the upper galleries of the church, hidden behind the patterned grills, which only added to the theatrical sense of drama matched by Vivaldi's music. And as a matter of fact, we have here in Newport a little bit of an example of that in Belcourt Castle, where there are those grills up in the
right.
gallery,
yeah.
and behind them is where the musicians would have performed. So these young men in Venice, they stopped on the grand tour and they flocked to Vivaldi's church to hear these mysterious women seen only in silhouette but who sounded like angels. So the Gloria itself is a joyful hymn of praise and worship. I have to say, it's one of my favorite pieces. I loved singing it as you know, when I was younger in choruses, and then, of course, later in my career as a soloist. I sang both the second soprano and the first soprano solos in this piece.
At different times.
At different times, yeah. Not simultaneously. But it's incredibly moving. It's got solo movements to the very solemn choral singing, to duets and four-part harmonies, and it's really masterful in its choral writing. And at the same time as, you know, Vivaldi utilizes the choristers and his vocal soloists so beautifully, he loved his instrumentalists. And he gives the entire orchestra and the solo instruments, like the oboe and the violin, a tremendous opportunities to shine. For this summer, for our performance at the Newport Music Festival, we will have a professional chorus and our resident artists, who, as you know, all of our resident artist instrumentalists are international soloists, you know, prize winners themselves. But they have, for the 50th anniversary season, agreed to join forces and form this sort of superstar orchestra for this celebration. So it's going to be absolutely incredible. And we're so fortunate that these soloists are being so generous and gracious and giving of themselves for this opportunity. So the recording that I've selected here is conducted by Trevor Pinnock, performing from the harpsichord as he always conducts with the English Concert and Choir. And I had the great fortune of working with Trevor on Handel's Rodelinda, which we performed in Germany in Karlsruhe and in a couple of other cities. And he is such a master of the Baroque. He truly changed my appreciation for this vast body of repertoire because of his ability to inject life and joy into these works. Sometimes we think of the Baroque as being a little stale, but when you hear this performance, not only is the music spectacular, but Trevor is just a remarkable conductor and, of course, performer. So we're going to end this evening's broadcast with the last four movements of Vivaldi's Gloria. And they are in order. The ninth movement, Qui tollis peccata mundi. The tenth movement, Qui sedes ad dexteram patris. The 11th movement, Quoniam tu solus sanctus. And the last movement, Cum sancto spiritu. And again, it's very uplifting music. And this is Trevor Pinnock conducting the English Concert and Choir with soloist Catherine Denley.
We will listen to that. Thank you again, Pamela, for bringing us this amazing music and all the information about Vivaldi. And we'll see you all next time here with the Newport Music Festival series.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.